We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mully and Hall. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Back door, hop on Zion and Lonzo. They're on the same page. Or make it rather, D'Angelo Russell. Zion!
I don't want a pass.
That is almost a full court lob.
Ball at it again. That one even more ridiculous.
Ball, corner three is good. Lonzo Ball with seven threes tonight.
Uh-oh, welcome to Big Baller Zone.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yes, indeed. We have a new Bulls player and a pretty good one, Lonzo Ball, a guy that's been on their radar for a long time. I think we've heard plenty of rumors about the Bulls chasing Lonzo Ball.
Yes.
So it's, you know, you get your guy. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, David.
They tried to acquire him at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. When they made the trade for Vooch, they thought that they might be able to get two in the same day. Weren't able to pull it off. Kept that as a priority. And you know that there was something going on. When you make a deal as quickly as this one was struck, you know that there was some, you know, not tampering, but conversations that may have been back channel in nature. And good for them, because this is the way you do business in the NBA. When you hit the opening of free agency and you already have, you know, your roster, your biggest move that you're going to make this offseason completed, that says that you're prepared. That says that you're doing what you need to do. And that says you have, you know, you have adapted well to modern life in the NBA.
Yeah. And, you know, with Satoransky, with Kobe White, Zach LaVine, those are the guys that kind of got the Bulls, controlled the ball and got them up and running. They ranked eighth in assists, but 27th in the entire league in turnovers last year. And it was a huge, huge problem for this team. They just gave away too many points. Simple as that.
Yeah, you need to control the tempo. You need to control the basketball. You need to handle with care, like a fragile box on moving day. You cannot be as careless with the basketball as the Bulls were. Lonzo Ball solidifies your offense in a way that you weren't able to say it was with Kobe White running the point. That's just not his role. His best role is coming off the bench, as he will now, being Mr. Instant Offense. And now, you know, let's wait and see if they're done. Here's what was surprising to me before we get to Alex Caruso and what he adds. Mully, I think that they let Daniel Tice go into Houston as a free agent. And I do wonder this, you know, Caruso's numbers, what you were going to pay Caruso, $37 million. Daniel Tice was signed with the Rockets for a comparable size deal. Are you overemphasizing the backcourt? Are you neglecting your front court? Are you having, do you have anybody there that can protect the rim if you're going as small as the Bulls seem to be going?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And I think that when you look at them and you start lining them up, you know, obviously, you know, Vuk is a big dude, but he's kind of he's not like a power center, right? He's not a guy that is going to kind of clean the glass, and you need a player next to him that can do some of the dirty work. And you know, you're gonna once again have some defensive limitations on you just based on the players that are your, and I keep using the term big three. I'm not sure that's a legit big three, but it's closer to it than we've seen before.
It's their big three, and yes. No, it doesn't match up to the Bucks' big three necessarily, or certainly the Lakers, the Nets, or the Lakers.
Yeah,
but it is what the Bulls have, and now they are. You know, remember back in the day when they were, you know, the team with quality depth against the big three of the Heat, the Tom Thibodeau Bulls against the LeBron James Heat, and that was always the matchup. Now the Bulls are going to try to get this done with their version of a big three and quality depth. Patrick Williams is their big three and a half, maybe, if he takes a step forward. And we don't know if they're done. Maybe today, as we pointed out, Lauri Markkanen goes in that sign and trade that's been rumored with the Spurs. You know, DeMar DeRozan is a quality player, good wing that would give you a pretty versatile starting five. I don't know, again, who's going to guard anybody, but it would be an upgrade, and it would make you feel like you could score with the teams in the East.
This segment of the Mully and Haas Show is brought to you by Insure on the Spot. Get your free auto insurance quote in 2 minutes and start saving today.
What's your favorite part about the Lonzo Ball acquisition? And I guess one of the things I think that is a hidden value is that we talk about his floor vision and his floor game. But I think that defensively he's a little underrated. You know, I talk about what they need in terms of rim protectors, but I think on the perimeter, they just got better as a defensive backcourt. And that's something that when you get Lonzo Ball, you don't immediately think of. But at 6'6", he's a bigger guard, bigger lead guard, and he can guard people. And he's not afraid to mix it up defensively.
Yeah, he's a two-way player, and he's an improving two-way player. He probably had his best. He didn't probably. He had his best offensive season as a pro last year, and he shot the three significantly better than you might think. And you know, he's got that weird shot, but he's gotten better as an NBA player. And I think that that's the thing that you look for, guys that come into the league that work hard and improve. And he's improved on both ends of the floor.
38% from three-point range. That gives that makes him fit well in this offense. Also, when you talk about the defensive ability of the Bulls, which I think at times could be a liability, you know, Zach LaVine is playing a pretty good role, big role for the U.S. Olympic team. And I think the one thing Casey Johnson mentioned, and we'll talk to him at 8 o'clock, I believe, is that when you talk about Zach, what he has done with the Olympic team is he's played better defense. He's been more committed defensively, maybe because he has to on that team, and that's part of his role. But you wonder if he will come back. Part of the step that he makes is he is more committed defensively, a better, more evolved defensive player, because that's where it's going to start with this Bulls team if they don't have the three dynamic, the big three that matches up with the guys on the Nets and the Bucks and the Lakers.
Well, they got a 6'4" guard in this guy, and then LaVine is 6'5". So you just think about the backcourt. That's a tall, quick backcourt. So you should play better defense. You should be significantly better. And again, this is a guy that can handle the ball and a guy that won't turn it over as much. And to me, that's extraordinary, the 37.8% accuracy on his threes. That's, I don't know. Do we hail that as a nod to what was going on in New Orleans and having a player that could dominate inside, and that opened up things for him? Knowing that the teams had to be more aware of protecting the rim.
That's a good question. And it raises another question that, as you say that, why are – I did cross my mind last night. Why are the Pelicans willing to part with Lonzo Ball? Why are they with Zion Williamson in
Because Zion is actually the guy they've used more with the ball. He's kind of this weird...
Has to go through him?
Like, he's this weird point power forward. You know, he's got the ball in his hands a lot, and I think that's, you know, even if you look at the way they were using ball, he was off the ball. He wasn't as much the trigger man as he had been before, so maybe that's one of the reasons they felt comfortable moving him.
Boy, they have a lot of explaining to do if they come up short, because remember yesterday we talked about how Kyle Lowry might be the linchpin in this entire process. He goes to the Heat and you think immediately, oh my gosh, at least for a couple minutes you did, oh my gosh.
Right.
The Pelicans are going to keep Lonzo Ball because they didn't get Kyle Lowry. And then all of a sudden you see the headline with Shams and Woj, and boy, the Bulls move quickly and the Pelicans are left holding the bag and they don't really have a point guard to speak of. So their loss is the Bulls' gain, and Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso later in the evening, they become the new Bulls point guard collection. That's their depth chart.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the reality of the NBA, the reality of professional sports, you know, one man's, and I don't want to call this guy trash because he's not, but one man's trash is another man's treasure. That's just the reality of life. Often in professional sports, you see a guy that you look at and you might think, well, he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that, when in reality he does those things so much better than anybody you had before. Like, he can run a team. This guy's run teams before.
Yes.
So that changes things a little bit.
And one of those teams was the Lakers. And when he was with the Lakers, one of his backups was Alex Caruso, the undrafted free agent out of Texas A&M, who endeared himself to that franchise by being the do everything guy, the hustle guy, right?
Right.
The fan favorite who comes off the bench and people think that they see limited athleticism, and all of a sudden he's, you know, hitting three pointer after three pointer. He shoots 41% from behind the arc. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that should improve kind of their outside shooting a little bit. It could help. You know, here's the problem. The problem is that as much as you wanted the Bulls to be better, as much as you thought Lowry Markkanen could be this, he wasn't. So it'll be interesting to see what they get in the sign and trade.
Yeah, the Markkanen move is maybe happening today. Hope that sooner rather than later. That would be an interesting move again for the Spurs, because what's wrong with DeMar DeRozan? Is it just a matter of it's time for a change to kind of mix up their dynamic in San Antonio? They also signed Doug McDermott in free agency, so you wonder what that does to their priority list, if Markkanen still is a topic, as some rumors are reported. I don't know, because Lauri Markkanen is going to end up somewhere. It's not going to be Chicago. And what will they get in return for him, and how will that person fit into the mix?
All right, 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network's available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
And Bob is listening, or Bob's driving, and he wants to talk about, he wants to talk some football. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Well, you know, now I'm a little aggravated at 6 in the morning because I must have missed something. Did somebody actually offer a draft pick for Nick Foles?
No. In fact,
okay, not yet.
Then what do you mean he turned something down?
The rumor was that he rejected a trade to Philadelphia. He didn't want to go back there. And, I mean, here's the thing. If I want to bring in Nick Foles and he says, yeah, you know, I don't really want to go there, then what do? You don't bring him in. And supposedly the Jets were sniffing around. And Nick Foles said, yeah, a couple teams were interested, but it wasn't the right situation for me.
I'm not overstating anything when I say Nick Foles was the worst player in the NFL last year. Not the worst quarterback, the worst player in the NFL. The fans got to see what they would look like if they played in the NFL. Outclassed, overmatched, and terrified that he's about to get hurt.
Maybe overstating a tad, Bob.
Okay, I'm not going to get into this. But Mully, you said his contract is bad, and his contract is bad. Yep. His presence is worse, right? You want to know what happened to the Bears last year? The Bears had that run where they were playing those five awesome running backs, and the defense was straight balling. They were shutting them down, and they were walking off the field, looking out, and they see this scrub running on the field. They know Mitch Trubisky was better than Nick Foles. They watched them. So about, I think it was maybe the third game of that run, they just quit. They just stopped playing. They're like, I'm not going to bust my butt and watch this scrub walk on the field. He is such a cancer in that locker room.
But you could make the argument that when you look at what the Bears achieved last year, they made the playoffs. All they did was beat the teams you're supposed to beat at the end of the year. The schedule turned. They lost, what was it, six straight games? And then the schedule turned. And that's when they started to win. And, you know, frankly, New Orleans was done and should have been finished. And instead, they ended up, the Bears couldn't beat them in a playoff game because they can't score because they got a terrible offense.
Thanks, Bob, for the phone call. Look, Nick Foles is many things, and he's not the quarterback that they signed him or traded for him to be. But he was not a cancer in the locker room. That's a mischaracterization
of
the guy.
And he's also not the single worst player in the NFL.
That'd be a good poll, though.
But I mean, you know, I don't know if you ever saw a guy take a swing at another guy and get thrown out of a playoff game. That's pretty bad.
He's not even the worst guy on your payroll last year.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. You had a couple guys that could qualify just by being the dumbest guy on your payroll.
Well, I mean, listen, he stunk. Let's not sugarcoat it.
He
was no damn good. There's no doubt about it. There's a reason they went out and signed one and drafted one.
But please also don't recall last season, and because Nick Foles was so bad, make you believe or fooled into the idea that Mitch Trubisky was so good.
Yeah, that like I said, the schedule turned, and that was that.
That would be somewhat of a mistake and a misread, but.
But I mean, listen, you know, here's the other thing, and I don't want to get on this because this will just drive everyone crazy. But you went out and you traded for and paid Nick Foles because you thought he was going to be able to run your scheme and you were going to be Philadelphia. And then the guy you didn't get, who got paid, what, like $2 million by Dallas, you gave him $10 million to replace Nick Foles. So, I mean, whether you want to admit it or not, you're throwing a lot of money away on totally mediocre players.
You are.
I agree with that.
I agree with that. But we will continue to talk about this as long as he is a member of the Bears and maybe is given a microphone. But my point would be, this is a lot of wasted energy,
sure,
and time on the third string quarterback that nobody cares about, right, because he has already his opportunity, yes, and squandered it.
The only interesting thing about Nick Foles, frankly, is whether you can get rid of him.
That's it.
Otherwise, he's not in the news. We don't care.
That's why yesterday mattered.
That's the end of it.
Because he was making a pitch. He was reverse tampering. It wasn't because he is very good in front of the microphone, because you know what? He is. And if you want him to talk to your group, you want to pay him money to come to talk to your corporation, he will motivate them.
Sure.
He'll make a lot of sense. But
Super Bowl winning quarterback.
He's the third string quarterback. The next time you hear from Nick Foles is going to be the time when you either trade him or cut him.
And he basically stood up there and said, come get me. Please come get me. That's it.
Everybody but the Jets.
Yeah, but exactly. I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
And I want nothing to do with Philly. I want to be able to pick where I go this time.
Exactly.
312-644-6767. We've got the pick six next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Lonzo Ball gets the triple, brings it up from his shoe tops. Off the lip of the rim, Zion gets it out in a hurry. Early offense, Lonzo gets another triple. So Lonzo now 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and he's in double figures.
Those highlights courtesy of Fox Sports New Orleans. How do you feel about the fact that Lonzo Ball made more three-point shots last season than Trae Young, Paul George, Bradley Beal, Chris Middleton, Devin Booker, Seth Curry, and LeBron James? After averaging 14.6 points per game on 41, 38, 78% all career highs, can he exceed those numbers with the Bulls? Will he have to?
You know, I think that, again, you know, the of all the words of mice and men, the worst of all it could have been, you need everyone healthy. You need everybody ready to go. You know, provided your bigger stars are healthy, he should be able to match all those numbers, don't you think? I mean, he should be able to get more open jumpers because Vuk will be on the inside. Obviously, we know that Zach LaVine is a scorer and can score from all over the court. And then that should leave him able for kickouts and open for some three-pointers. That is the ideal. And there are other players on this team. But the fact of the matter is that, yeah, he should be able. I don't know. You know, I'd have to look at Trae Young, Paul George, Bradley Beal, et cetera, and figure out who was injured and how many games they played and where, how, you know, it's a really impressive statistic to read it, but I don't know what it means without breaking it down and picking it apart. But the fact of the matter is that the 38% three-point shooting is significantly better than you expect from him. And if he can match all those numbers, he doesn't really have to exceed them, but he needs to kind of match them. He needs to be the player they think they're getting. And if he's adding 14.6 points a game, that's perfect given the two guys that will do, you know, the majority of the scoring.
It's a great line in his bio, the fact that he hit more three-pointers than all of those stars. And, you know, he can say that he's a star in his own right. The one thing I wonder about him is I looked at and commented during the break, he's only 23 years old. He turns 24 in October. That's remarkable because he's beginning his fifth NBA season with his third team. It's a little bit of a red flag. I think it's because of some of the understandable circumstances surrounding his trade to New Orleans. And now, you know, with New Orleans him playing with Zion, as you pointed out. So the Bulls, maybe he finds a home here. Maybe this four-year contract is something he completes because of the way he fits with his fellow UCLA alum, Zach LaVine. This is going to be a fun team to watch. I think he does likely hit about 40% of his threes. That is 15 points per game would be probably more than he needs to score with this group, but that would be great if he could duplicate those numbers. I don't think he needs to try to exceed anything. I think he needs to be the player that they think they're getting and the player he has been, and that will be good enough to be an upgrade at point guard for the Bulls.
A pick six to end the half.
How do you feel about Miami giving Jimmy Butler a four-year max deal in excess of $184 million? Not bad for a humble kid from Tomball, Texas, who was drafted 30th by the Bulls 10 years ago, huh? Is Jimmy Buckets one of the great NBA success stories ever?
Well, I don't know about that. I was surprised that the Heat, after the max deal and then going out and getting Kyle Lowry, and you start to look at their roster and you wonder how they fit into the Bulls. That was the context I was looking at the Heat yesterday. Jimmy Butler, he's been around a long time, and he'll be making a lot of money by his 35th birthday if he finishes the terms of this contract, and he will be up there with – he's in the right era. He's the right player in the right era at the right time. And I just wonder how the Heat will be given kind of the way they've remade their roster, and how the Bulls will stack up against the Heat in the East when – it's the Bucks and the Nets and everybody else.
You know, I think Jimmy Butler is like one of the great success stories. Incredible story in the NBA. You know, going to Tyler Junior College, getting to Marquette, drafted 30th by the Bulls, and the guy ends up as a five-time All-Star and a guy that commands this kind of money. It's insane. I mean, Jimmy Butler has had a great career. I don't know if he's a humble kid from Tomball, Texas, but he's from there, and it's an incredible success story because now he's going to get $184 million plus. That's unbelievable for a guy drafted 30th. 10 years later, he's turned himself into a player like that, and he's earned it. And he's worked hard and made himself a really good defensive player, and then has become a two-way player and a really good one. So. Congratulations to Jimmy Butler. I'm with you, David. I don't know that they're going back to the NBA Finals like they did in the bubble, but it's a hell of a story.
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. Lonzo Ball is indeed now a Bull. He gets a four-year deal, $85 million. The Bulls work out a sign and trade with the Pelicans. Also on the Bulls front, Alex Caruso joins the backcourt. 4 years, $37 million. Team USA men's basketball, they were tied with Spain at halftime, but pull away to win 95-81. Durant, 29 points. Zach LaVine finished with 10. Team USA will face the winner of Australia and Argentina. Simone Biles wins bronze. She's back on the balance beam after returning to Olympic competition. Medal count, USA and China tied 68 apiece. Bears back to work. Full pads today, 11 o'clock, Soldier Field. Cubs were off Monday. They take on Colorado tonight. Zach Davies throws. Dylan Cease on the mound. White Sox hosting the Royals. This update was brought to you by the Wildcats. They return to Ryan Field. They host Michigan State, Iowa, and Mar. Buy those tickets now at NUSports.com.
A pick six of 100 yards.
Do you expect Eloy Jimenez back in the lineup tonight against the Royals, and if so, where? Is it possible Luis Robert joins his buddy in Kansas City before the series is over? And is it asking too much for Robert to return tonight?
Yes, it's asking too much. I hope Aloy is back. I mean, we've seen him running, and it looked like they talked about Tuesday as a day for him to come back. So I'm very hopeful that he is in the lineup tonight. And I don't think it's time quite yet for Louis to be able to join the team. But I mean, it'd be great if, you know, the sooner the better. I just worry about these guys. I worry about their long-term health, and I don't want them pushing it, and I want them ready come playoff time rather than come tonight.
Robert was better at Charlotte than I expected. The layoff didn't seem to bother him down there. And you wonder, Tony La Russa hinted at this possibility. I think it was maybe getting a little ahead of himself. You don't need to rush. It's only August 3rd. You've got plenty of time. I do hope Eloy's back in the lineup tonight. I do hope that he is against the left-hander Bubic, who they just saw, and he gets an opportunity to start his road back. And I don't think he needs to play left field. I think definitely as a designated hitter, he got an extra day on Sunday. They had the off day yesterday. If he doesn't play tonight, then I think it's almost like, you know, we go back to the whole Tevin Jenkins thing. When you start to see somebody missing more days than you anticipate, you start to worry. So if Aloy misses tonight, I think you might start to worry how badly injured he is. But no, I think tonight is a good stage for him, and you might want to slow down and maybe tamp down the expectations for Luis Robert, even though he may be here by the end of the week.
Pick six.
Fox Sports baseball analyst Ben Verlander left the White Sox out of his top 10 power rankings, but later apologized for the omission on Twitter, saying it simply slipped his mind. Acceptable? MLB.com made sure it didn't make the same mistake by ranking the Sox fourth. Where would you rank them?
A Verlander frustrating Sox fans. Where have we heard that before? This time, not Justin, Ben. And he did acknowledge it quickly. Bad oversight for a baseball analyst. He was the first to admit it.
And count up the teams, for God's sake.
He kind of indicative of the lack of respect that the Sox continue or have gotten or not gotten nationally. And that's a big problem. I think they're closer to where MLB.com had them fourth. I think they're a top five team. If I were, you know, in my power rankings, they might be third or fourth because they might be a projection. And when you project this team out with their bullpen and it at full strength, they're one of the top three or four teams in baseball. So if you're having a Final Four, the Sox are among them. And this is a big swing and a miss for Fox Sports.
Yeah, that's just a terrible omission, and it's an insult. And I'm glad that he corrected it quickly. And listen, we've all made errors. I'm not going to sit here and say that we haven't. But when you're a team like the White Sox, where you don't seem to get the same kind of national respect and everyone's calling you bum slayers, it's really pretty insulting for him to have made that omission. But MLB.com has him fourth. I would say I'd have to look at the list, but I would say right now, just off the top of my head, they're about fifth or sixth probably. And hopefully they start putting some wins together. Hopefully they get some offense going, and hopefully they just keep improving, rest guys, get ready for the playoff run, and then you can throw it inside to one Ben Verlander.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
With 55 games left in a season that's essentially over for the Cubs, is there a particular player or players whose progress intrigues you the most? Is there someone you'd like to see more or less of?
I guess I want to see the Patrick Wisdoms of the world. I think you need to know what these guys are, and you need to be able to make sort of decisions on who you want around and who you don't. You know, when you ask that question, Dustin, if Duffy and Wisdom and Bodie, etc., these are the guys you're building your team around. Well, let's find out, right? Let's see them play. I think you still try to win, and I think that you give them a chance. I'm fascinated as to whether or not the shortstop can keep it up. I would seriously doubt it. I want Nico to come back and play there because I want to see what that looks like rather than at second base. I think that the pitching is what interests me the most, and I'm not sure why, because I don't think I want to see Jake Arrieta again. I don't understand why that would happen. But weren't they going to stretch out some of these guys, Keegan Thompson, Justin Steele? Don't you kind of want to see somebody come up and try to pitch a little bit and find out what you have instead of the soft throwers?
You've got 55 games left. That's about 11 spins through the rotation. I'd like to see Keegan Thompson and Justin Steele make 8 to 10 starts apiece around there, because you want to see what you have. You are starting to rebuild, and if you want to rebuild this time around young pitching, this is a great opportunity you have to see what you have and start to get a set of facts so you can start somewhere in the evaluation process. I'd also like to see Adbert Alzolay take a step forward. I know statistically it's not the season that he envisioned, and maybe on the mound some of that has started to frustrate him, but I'd like to see him regain some consistency down the stretch in the final 55 games. And then finally, I'd like to see Cody Hoyer along the pitching lines establish himself as a guy you can count on going into 2022 as your closer. If Cody Hoyer is going to be the guy that you think he can be, he is going to be your closer going into next year. He's affordable. He's a guy you traded for. So the young pitching is what the rest of the season is all about for the Cubs.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Did you enjoy the quarterback conversation? Which guy's comments stood out to you? Can you share one impression from each guy?
I did enjoy it. I thought it was the quarterback's past, present, and future for the Bears. And it was a look at the past with Nick Foles making a ploy or plea to please come and get me. Please, please, Frank Reich, talk your boss into trading for me or giving the Bears something. And you know what? If the Bears want to pay his salary and they get a fifth-round draft pick in return for the Colts, more power to them. That'd be a great deal for Ryan Pace. Quarterback of the present, Andy Dalton, said exactly what you would think. Nothing really remarkable. No, it was very unremarkable. It was very steady and consistent. And Justin Fields, glimpse of the future. Greatness doesn't happen overnight. But you know what? He's talking about greatness, and you're hearing it from him. So it was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a good day at the podium.
Yeah, I thought, people want to know what the quarterback thinks, and you always want to hear what the quarterback thinks. So I think that Andy Dalton said, I'm a pro. Here we go. I believe that Justin Fields kind of said, count me in, but not yet. And Nick Foles kind of said, get me the hell out of here. And I like that. I liked all three of them. And I didn't think there was anything wrong with anybody's attitude or what they had to say. And, I kind of thought that Nick Foles, his whole thing about I'm going to be the best third-string quarterback, we're going to tear him up on the third. Yeah, it's a good attitude.
That was good.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Matt Nagy offered to let him use his car to drive to Indy.
Matt Nagy always lends him his car. Yeah, that's how they became friends. That's right. Gave his car. All right, we're going to bring in our buddy Bobby Vassilopoulos, and we'll talk Olympic basketball. We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The game is about buckets, so when you see the ball going around, everybody gets more energy. Coaches, players, trainers, everybody get more energy when the ball going around. So we started making shots. We made some threes, and guys calmed down a bit and got some stops.
Was it the thought to come out and take some threes?
Yeah, for sure. We got wide open looks in the first half. We just didn't knock them down, and we started rushing once we got down 7 or 8. So we calmed down once we tied the game up and was able to knock them shots down and stick with our fundamentals and, keep working.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is, of course, the voice of Kevin Durant, and he is the star of the U.S. Basketball team. And Bob Vassilopoulos is our star. He's our man in Japan. Live from the Olympics, we welcome our friend Bobby V on the Home Run In Hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com. for unique grilling recipes and more. Hey, Bob.
Or the hibachi. Hey, Mully-san. How are you, my friend?
Morning, Bob.
Mully-san. That's pretty good. So, Bob.
How you guys doing, fellas? Can I start with a little color?
Please.
Or should I say a little aroma? It is hot here in Tokyo, and humidity like I've never experienced before. So, in the press zone, no cheering in the press box. Well, don't tell that to the Italians and the French. I mean, Mushel and Holtzman would bite through their cigars if they saw what was going on there. But anyway, a veteran move is a little bottle of Woolite and a sink at night, and you're okay. But some of these guys just need a little lesson because it was a little gamey up there.
Anyway, thank you for that detail.
Just a little look into the insides, but I'll tell you, it's turning out to be a great tournament, guys.
How good was Kevin Durant, and what changed about his approach? Because it seems like the last couple of games has been different.
It really is, and he just seems so relaxed. That first half, I mean, it was almost like slow motion. I kept thinking, where are those up and down? We're used to seeing that in the NBA, and anyway, it was just very relaxed, and then Zach LaVine ended the half with a dunk that tied it at 43, and KD just came out. And we could call him KD now because I've talked to him three times, right? So anyway, he hit for three threes right away, and I asked him, I said, you like this? Oh, yeah, man, once you get used to it, because it's a foot and a half shorter in each corner and then shorter at the top because the international floor is smaller. And it's like muscle memory, you just are used to, hey, if I'm in this corner, it's going to take this much to get the ball up there. Well, it's too much, to start. So anyway, they've gotten it down, and he just seems so relaxed. And he said at the end of that interview you guys played, where I asked him, you know, he said, hey, people aren't afraid of us anymore. And I said, well, should they start to be afraid of you? And he smiled, had a little smile on his face, said, we'll see. We have two more games to go. So it's going to be an interesting – it seems to be going into a showdown between the United States and Slovenia if, you know, form holds for the gold medal.
How does Luka do it? I mean, it's extraordinary that hasn't lost yet with Slovenia. And I just don't think of that as the scariest team out there, but – he doesn't lose.
You know, Mike, Spain, you know, ran a zone. They had 2-3 guys on him in the first half of their game the other night. He got into foul trouble. He should have gotten his fourth because Rubio was locked in front of him, and they called him for a block instead of a charge. That would have been 4. Anyway, the rest of his guys picked it up. Today, he only had 20, but a guy named Zoran Dragic had 27. So these other guys are finding, you know, plus they played together. Luka joined the group. So these guys know how to play. And with, you know, his strength and his presence out there, they're a force. They're really, it's going to be an interesting tournament. They draw France next, which I just watched play in Italy. God love them. They played their hearts out. They tied it after being down 14. And, you know, gave them all they could handle, but Gobert and the guard, what's his name?
Fournier.
Yeah, they were just phenomenal at the end. And quick little note: I wanted to talk to the Italian coach, and unfortunately, when we're talking to Gobert, he got mad, he left, and he's kind of like Ditka, so he comes back. I don't wait. I lose. You talk to me first. Then I said, oh, sir, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean anything by it. And he just lit into me. I had flashbacks of Ditka at the old Hallis Hall ripping me about something, right? And I said, hey, I've been yelled at by the best, pal, so don't you even start. No, anyway, he was very respectful and loves his team, and they played their hearts out, and they have nothing to be embarrassed about because they really, really did play well. So that's what's great about this. These kids rise to the occasion. It's really, and I shouldn't say kids. A lot of them are in their 30s, and it's an amazing, it's amazing to watch them play.
What's going on with Australia and Argentina? Is that going on right now, Bob, or is it coming up soon?
They're about to tip off right now, and so that's who the Americans will draw is the winner of that game. Argentina came in with a weak record. Australia's won their group 3-0, as we've talked about a lot. 7 NBA guys on there. Patty Mills, who plays for the Spurs. I wonder if Popovich is going to tell his team how to play this guy or something, you know? Or, hey, this is his weakness. Dude, go after this or something, you know?
You know,
kind of strange when coaches are, you know, opposite their own players.
I saw Fournier signed a 4-year, $78 million deal with the Knicks. I don't know that he signed it, but they agreed to that. And we heard Zach LaVine talk about his contract status and wanting to get paid. How much is the business of the NBA a distraction to these guys? I mean, they're getting new teammates. They're going back to situations where some of them are going to be dramatically different.
I think they're just into this, Mike. I mean, I saw LaVine sitting on the bench, and guys are talking to him. I'm sure, you know, the ball conversation came up and everything else. And, you know, I just wanted to run out there and say, hey, man, you got a minute? But you couldn't do that. Anyway, I'm sure that you know, they whisper about it on the buses. You know, the one thing that I found very just heartwarming, the women show up to watch the men, and the men have now shown up twice to watch the women.
Excellent.
And that's really because it does create a bit of an atmosphere. You see a few folks in the stands. You know, people are cheering, they're applauding. It's not much in a 27,000-seat arena, but it's something. And they both the American teams are feeding off of that. And if I could just quickly just go to the women's side for a minute, and it can't be, you know, this is just one of the great stories of this Olympics. Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi are in their fifth Olympics, going for their fifth consecutive gold medal, where they started in Athens in 2004. So it's really an amazing run. If those two women and the American women win the gold medal, it'll just be one of the great stories. Five gold medals for those two women would be really special.
Wow.
Bob, we want you to bring it home.
Yeah.
Bring it home, Bob.
Come on. Get it done.
But listen, listen, guys, Hungarian StatCast just came in, so everybody knows that Aladar Gurevich, and I've done my research here, folks, won six consecutive gold medals in the Saber team from 1932 to 1960.
Of course.
There you go. They have a way to go.
Enjoy the sights, sounds, and smells of Tokyo.
Take a deep breath. Yes, that's right. All right, guys. A pleasure.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bobby. See you, bud. That is our guy, Bob Vassilopoulos. He is producer extraordinaire working for the Olympic Channel over there. Doing
a
great job.
Gamey over there.
That's hysterical. That is hysterical. Been there a couple weeks. Yeah. No one using Woolite in the old sink in the hotel room. Come on. You can't get that information anywhere else. Our man in Japan will give it to you.
That's painting a picture.
That's right. Yeah. We're going to bring in Big Z next. We'll talk quarterback, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.